Good evening, Rabbi Osai. I know we just announced this shir this afternoon. I apologize for not letting people know earlier that we're going to have it. But I want to talk about it's a fascinating sugya in Lamdas, and it's a very halach lamaisa sugya halach lamaisa. And the discussion will end up discussing what's the din with chametz that might have fallen into the radiator. What's the din about chametz? If you come into the front door of my house, we have a radiator as you walk in. And you'll notice behind the gratings numerous lollipops that are still intact of children who are probably either trying to hide them from me or otherwise. What's the din of chametz that falls behind or underneath the refrigerator? Do you have to move the refrigerator? I grew up in a house where Erev Pesach was the one time a year the refrigerator was leaned over and vacuumed behind the refrigerator. Yeah. And yes, there's lots of dirt there. So is that necessary? Is that a chumrah? Is it lechatchila? Is it b'dieved? Is it what? Is it nothing? Do you have to, if you ever notice, there's certain parts of your car where you know chametz has fallen, especially those of you who have minivans and children, and children who eat in the back of the minivans know that where the bottom bracket of the removable seats in the back of the minivan, where they click in to the brackets of the minivan, there's chametz that you could look at and stare at and smile at, and your fingers just don't fit in to reach and to get it. So are you mechuyev to get whatever you can out of there? Are you not mechuyev? Do you have to do something to it, or could you just leave it there? That's what I'd like to talk about tonight. And it really is an almost explicit Gemara and Pesachim, and if we stopped after a Mishnah, that might even tell us everything we need to know, but it's going to be obviously a lot more complicated than that. But let's begin in source number one, Mishnah and Pesachim Daf Lamed Aleph. Mishnah talks about not food stuck behind a dishwasher, refrigerator, oven, or seat in your car, but Chamesh Shnafal Aleph Mapolas, some kind of rubble falls upon the chametz. Harehu k'mevur. Mishnah says explicitly that's already considered as though it is mevur v'omed. Comes from Shem ben Gamliel not to argue but to explain. Kol shein hakelav yochel l'chapis acharav. That which we consider the chametz to be mevur and gotten rid of, that's only if it's something that it's not accessible by a kelev. Comes the Gemara and says something interesting. V'tzarech shi'evato b'libo. Now, those three words, that you have to mevatel this chametz, seems to be a stira to the Mishnah that we just finished. Because if I told you in the Mishnah that it's mevur, that means that you don't violate anything. Right. And comes the Mishnah, the Gemara, and says, you have to mevatel it. Why are you mevatel something? Presumably, because you are violating something. So it sounds like a stira. Rashi will explain in a moment. The mitzvah of the case is that let's assume that you have a house collapsed on top of a, let's assume you had a, you own a bakery and there was an earthquake. Okay, so the chametz that's underneath the bakery, the rubble of the bakery, is
that chametz where it is still intact?
It is still intact. Yes,
that
is correct. It is completely intact. It's just not reachable. Correct. It's not reachable. So the fact that it's not reachable itself makes it mevur in the Mishnah. And the problem is the Gemara says, but you have to mevatel. Wait, if you have to mevatel, that means that you're liable for it. The Mishnah said that you're not liable for it. So the Gemara is explaining the Mishnah, but being so in the Mishnah. Okay, we'll see in a moment how to understand that. The Gemara says, what is this measure of that a kelev can't find it? Kama chafisas kelev, shlosh etfachim. That's how much a kelev could dig. More than that, you know, they have those rescue dogs and they have these earthquakes in China and Chile. The rescue dogs, so if it's more than three tefachim, the rescue dog ain't going to help you. Really? What's the parameters? If you're saying that something's buried, I know that by kesef, when you have to bury it to be shomer, if I ask you to watch, excuse me, I have a $100 bill, I'm going somewhere, I want you to watch it. So you have to watch it by burying it in the ground. That's a proper shmirah. Do you talk and eat three tefachim also? The Gemara says, no, these are totally unrelated. When you want to protect something from being stolen, you want to make sure nobody sees it. But here, when we want to protect it, that a kelev can't reach it, it's not just covering it over, the kelev can't see it. Hacha mishum recha, be'inan shlosh tefachim. If it's three tefachim deep, the dog won't be able to smell it and eventually dig it out. If you're just protecting it from the sight of a thief, you don't need three tefachim. Now here, Rashi makes two very important points. To answer the stira that I asked you, in terms of the simple reading of the Mishnah means that says that something that is covered over is as though it isn't. It's mavur already. You can fulfill bi'ur already by the fact that it's on the rubble. And the Gemara says that, no, you're still responsible for it. Rashi explains. So shivato belibo, shema yifakeach hagal b'moed. Maybe somebody or somebody will take a bulldozer and clear off the gal, clear off this pile. V'nimtza, and at that point you will be over olav. Meaning we're not worried right now. Right now, are you over it? Right now, am I liable for my chametz that's underneath the rubble? I'm Mr. Baker. The chametz that I have underneath this rubble, I'm not chayv whatsoever. Midoraisa, nothing at all. I'm not chayv. It's not by your rabbi Yimatzeh. So why did the Gemara say I have to do bittul? As a gzera derabanan, right now there's a gzera derabanan that if it would happen that it will be exposed on the yontif, then I will violate. I will now be violating. So for that reason, I will be over. Rashi clearly is holding that the bittul that the Gemara is speaking of right now is derabanan. It's because right now the chometz is taken care of. As the Mishnah said, it's mavur. It's destroyed. But al hachshash, maybe we'll get uncovered. I'm going to violate, so I better be mevatel right now as a precautionary for what might happen later. Where else do we have a concept of being mevatel now for what might end up happening later? Which is clearly on the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, Shema yimta gluska yafa v'dayti lavei. So therefore, what should you do right now? You should be mevatel right now, even though you did a bedika and you didn't find anything. We still, and you fulfill the din d'oraisa of bittul of ridding yourself of chametz of tashbisu. Nevertheless, the Gemara still says, midrabbanan, we want you to do a bittul in addition, because shem yimtza gluska yafa v'dayti lavei. You can have das on it. So, because that might happen right now, do a bittul d'rabbanan on the chametz that you may or may not have. So that's the same thing that's happening here. That's a whole different sugya. We're not even going. It's going to be. It's so much of a different sugya. We're not even going to mention that tonight.
But here, once exposed, is yadom magas. In our case, is yadom magas. Once it's exposed.
Now, just to show, you see, you might accuse me that I'm putting words in Rashi. Like, does Rashi really say? I'm saying that Rashi is holding its derabbanan because I says maybe you'll be mefakeh the gal, at which point you'll be chayiv v'nimtza over love. At that point, so right now it's only derabbanan. If you don't believe me, let's look at the Ran. The Ran says it even more explicitly. Chiddush Yeran Pesachim Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. That's the Chiddush Yeran on this very Mishnah. So Shivato Belibo. He's explained this case of the rubble. You have to mevatel the chametz underneath the rubble. Belibo perish midrabanan. Te'il midoraisa keva denafla alav mapoles eina over alav. Fine. So he's clearly saying that once the rubble has fallen on top of my chametz, I do not violate owning chametz. But the question is why? What's the svara that you could think of? Why, just because there's a pile of stones on top of my chametz, therefore I'm not violating an issue of owning chametz? Is it mine? Yes. It became hefker because rubble fell on top of it?
Yes.
Well, if that would be the case, so how come if the rubble would be cleared off, I'd violate it? It all of a sudden became not hefker?
No, it's not accessible.
So what? Where do you see a halacha that something that's not accessible to you makes you not violate Bayurah, Bayur Matzah, so because it's not accessible?
Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa, I cannot find a gluska under it because it's not accessible. And I'm willing the condition now. I mean,
Okay, what other stories could we say that how we could explain that if because there's rubble on, because it's not accessible, therefore I'm not violating Bayurah?
So you're mamish being
chidushim al gavi chidushim. First you're saying darshin in time of the kra. First you're saying that this is a siyag d'oraisa, which is an interesting concept in and of itself, which Rav Adya has a list of, I think, 6 or 9, I might have mentioned them once, siyagim d'oraisa, where the Torah itself is giving a gedder that you don't do a worse gedder. So that's true. One of the examples that he gives is this. Vayirabai Matza Atu Achila, which is Bikaris, right? This is only Malkus. Vayirabai Matza is Bimalkus if you purchase it or create it on Shaniyantiv. And it's Atu Malkus, which is worse. So granted. So we'll take that. Then you're saying another thing. That when if you're also Darshin and Taimat Akra, that if I could find a reason why you're never going to violate the Karis, I also shouldn't be over the Isser Vayirabai Matza. That's a big Chiddush that you're saying.
Okay.
You hear why it's a big Chiddush?
My
God tells me don't have Bayirah Ma'ay Matzeh, and you come along and say, but if there's no reason for it, because you can't eat it anyway, you can't ever violate Achila, so there's no Issa Daraisa, don't worry about it. You sound like Shlomo HaMelech.
But there's other ones, like I have to eat within 30 days, right? And he's close in his house, as the guy on the other side of the world.
Is a Chiv
Vedika. Think he's going to make it back from Australia to New York in time?
So that could be a question. So what other reasons could we say why are you not chayiv daraisa for chametz just because it's under rubble?
Lo yiroya, lo yiroya, by yiroya, can't see.
Fine, okay. So let's look at the continuation of the Ran. The Ran is going to bring a din daraisa. He's going to bring a mechilta, which we'll see at length in a moment or two. V'hachi tani b'mechilta. The Mechilta says, we learn from a pasuk which we'll see soon, Yatza Chemsa Shal Nachrishu. Actually, let's learn the Mechilta together. The Mechilta is handling two psukim, which is a steer. There's a steer in psukim regarding Bayura Bayimase. If you look at source number 3 and 4, they're both in Parashas Bo, one parak separated one from another. In Parashas Bo, parak Yud Beis, the pasuk tells us, Shavasim is to Or Lo Yimatse Bevatechem. That's the Sir Lo Yimatse. And there it says Bevatechem. The problem is, in pasuk in parak Yud Gimel, the following parak, it says lo yira alecha chametz lo yira alecha asar, right? By yira by matza the same esther, but there it says b'chol gvulecha. So we have a stira because b'chol gvulecha is mashma that anywhere in your in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, you're not allowed to chametz, and the other pas says only b'vateichem under your domain are you not allowed to have chametz. But if it's not under your domain, you are allowed to have chametz. So we have a stira. This is the stira that the mechilta asks. It's not anywhere in Shas, although you might find a line that sounds a little bit like it in Shas, which we'll talk about later. This line does not appear in Shas, but it's a Mechilta, I think. It's a Mechilta. Ask the Mechilta. V'vateichem lo menemar. Meaning, if the Torah already says you can't have b'chol gvulecha anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, so I don't have to tell you in a pasuk that it can't be in your house. Right? B'chol masai mona. And says the Mechilta. V'fisha ne'emar b'chol gvulecha shemani k'mashmo tamu lomar b'vateichem. What does the word b'vateichem add? The following, that ma bateichem b'shuschem, av gvulcha b'shuscha. The only time that you're chayav for something in your gvul is when it's also under your control. Let's see the applications. Yotze chemsa shel Yisrael, even though you own it, but it's b'shus nachri, even though av b'shiach levaro, because you own it, aval ena b'shus, you don't have control over it. And similarly, yotze chemsa shel nachri, if it's non-Jews chametz, b'shus Yisrael, that's not considered bateichem. Similarly, chomesh shenafla of mapolas afal pishur b'shuso aval eno yachlevar. I'm sorry. Even though it's not under your shus, you're not able to burn it. Now let's think about this last line of the mechilta. He's telling us two things. If you have a guy's chametz in your backyard, so you're in control of it. It's in your backyard. It's in your house, but you can't burn it because it's not yours. What about the next point? And chametz, that something fell in it, that a mapolis fell in it, it's in your shus, but you can't destroy it. Why can't you destroy it? You
can't reach it.
You can't reach it. That's interesting. So you have two halachas. One is, they're both in my rishus. One is I can't destroy it because it's not mine. That's a legal reason. You're a lawyer. That's why you said that.
Also,
and the other is because, you're also a lawyer.
Logistically.
The other is because logistically. It's a very different kind of mia. That's why the mechilta has to say both of these points. So you see here the answer to the question that I asked you 5 minutes ago. Why is it that chametz underneath rubble you're not chayav for? The answer is because it's a gzeiras hakasev that from these two psukim that it has to be that you're only chayav on chametz that is birshuscha and that you're yochel levaro, and if you're not yochel levaro for even practical purposes because it's just not accessible, there's a gzeiras hakasev that tells you a miut from this mechilta that you don't violate Bayura Bayimatse.
Can't you apply the same rule that it might become uncovered?
That you might what?
That might become uncovered.
Okay, so you say what happens if it becomes uncovered,
right now,
then all
right
of a sudden.
Can't destroy it, but maybe, you know, something happens. Sure,
beautiful! You just said something incredible. The whole heter is nothing to do with ownership, right. Nothing to do with hefker, not like the Chazan said before,
it's
he
logistics.
Said hefker. It's just logistics.
Right.
So long as I physically can't burn it, there's a miut and I says I'm not chayav on it. But what happens if it would be uncovered on Yontif? All of a sudden that Gzeres HaKaza falls away.
So
that reason falls away.
So I have
a chiyuv all of a sudden. The chiyuv d'oraisa pops back on me,
right,
and I'll violate d'oraisa. That's why I have to right now do a bittul to protect me from that potential eventuality. That potentiality.
What's the
shiur
about that?
The Mishnah said, what the Gemara said is three tvachim deep, three tvachim worth of rubble, a foot high. So we have here the Ran, who brought this mechilta that we just learned. The Ran says that since the Mapolis is making it unable for me to access the Chametz, I don't violate only Chametz Daraisa, because of the Gzeres HaKaz we just saw in this mechilta. And therefore, why do I have to do a bittul now? Why does the Gemara obligate me to be vatal now? It's only Drabbanan. And that's also what Rashi meant earlier. So we have Rashi and we have the Ran who say that when you have Chametz with the Mapolis on it, you only have to move out to let me dirabbanan. Let's see the Magen Avraham, source number 6. Top of page 2, Magen Avraham and Tav Lamed Gimel, on this, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about this very case of something that falls underneath rubble. L'Rashi v'Ran, ha-bitl dirabbanan. T'kevan she'esh olav gova gimel tfachim, hevelei kimivuar. It's like it's already mivuar, which is the Lashon of the Mishnah. But look at the next two words. Vilasmak habito daraisa. But there's another opinion. Now let's just think, before we talk about those, before we get into anything, what does it mean that there was an avalanche, the ceiling of the bakery fell down on top of the challah? I have to mivatel it mi daraisa. What do those two words mean? I have to mivatel it daraisa. That means what about this chametz? That means it's mine, and it's in my rishus. It's whatever it is. We still consider mi chayev d'oraisa on oni chametz, even though it's inaccessible,
right,
even though it's covered over. Right. I still have to get rid of it d'oraisa.
Right.
I still have to do bittul on it d'oraisa.
Because of, not necessarily because it's chametz now.
You have to say because it's chametz now. Otherwise, it wouldn't need bittul d'oraisa. That's the point.
You have to say that you know that.
No. If you say that right now I'm not violating anything, but we're worried that something might happen, that's what Rashi said, that must be only Durabana. Because if right now there's no reason, we're worried that something might happen, what is it called when there's nothing wrong with it, but I do something because it might end up a problem? That's called Durabana. That's a gather. So by him saying that I have to do Bittul D'oraisa right now, that means he's worried right now. Not because something's going to happen. If you say, like Mr. Bergman said, that it's a Siyad
Daraisa, then you realize it's not Chametz, but the reason...
No, he wanted to say, and therefore you're not Chayav at all, even that you're Chayav Daraisa. It's just the opposite.
He was explaining,
he was giving a svar why it should be Darabana.
Okay,
because
so
he...
The reason that it's Bayiro is that you're Chayav Daraisa of Bayiro, but Bayiro is a Siyad
Okay, but still, you're still chayv, but you're chayv d'oraisa right now because you're only chametz right now. Even though there's three tefachim rubble on top, you're still chayv to be mivatle. Because obviously,
it's my rishus.
Right. You're l'shvitas. You always follow legal ownership.
Since you own it, even though there's
a ceiling on top of it, you own it, you're chayv on it. 100%.
Only because you could become accessible to you.
No.
That's what he just said. That's going to be Drabbana. Once he said, because it might, that's already Drabbana.
Plus, it could be accessible on Pesach.
Once he say it might become, that's already doing something now, because it might. That's Drabbana. That's what Menachem wanted to say.
That could be a derisa too.
I don't think
so. Okay. The refrigerator will never come accessible.
Okay, so we'll see. We'll get there. Let's see this smack that the Magen Avraham was quoting as arguing Rashi and the Ran, who's holding that you have to be mevatel d'oraisa, which obviously meaning again, if you have to be mevatel d'oraisa, that means you are violating Bayi Matzah right now, while there's a ceiling and concrete and steel sitting on top of it. So let's see the smack. It's a careful read of the smack in source number 7. The Sefer Mitzvot Kat Mitzvot Tzadiches. Chomei Shenafel Av Mapolas Harei Kemevuar. That's just quoting the Gemara. The Mishnah, I'm sorry. So if I would stop there, it sounds like, you know, you don't violate it. You don't violate owning that chametz. It's mevur. It's destroyed. V'davka kishanim tzolav offer shloshet fachim al yoser. That's if there is the appropriate amount of coverage that it mamash makes it mavur. And even so, look what he says. V'tzarech levat lo belibo. He doesn't say because something might happen, drabban and svara. He says, mishum bal yatmin. An iser d'oraisa of bal yatmin. That means that this is almost a new category of an iser d'oraisa. An iser d'oraisa that you hide, you put away chametz for yourself. And therefore, you having chametz, yes, it's covered over. Yes, it's... that we could talk about later. We could.
Can get to it.
You can't get to it. It's hidden over. And here he's talking about this case, right? He's talking about a case where it's covered over. He still says the fact that it's covered over, like the chas was before, you own it, right? It's yours. Therefore, you have to be mevatel. And it sounds the lashon of levatlo mishum bal yatim. That's a lashon of an isa d'oraisa. Now, what? Yes, it's a we learn it elsewhere from another. I think from another pasuk. Yeah, it's a gemara that learns that out. Now, I want to ask you: is there nafka mina? We just presented machlokas rishonim whether or not again bakery collapsed on top of my challahs. That challahs, the gemara says I have to be mevatel it. Machlokas if the bitl that I have to do is rabbanon or doraisa. In other words, it's machlokas if right now I'm violating. For that chametz underneath this concrete and cement rubble. Is there enough kamina, lahalacha, gentlemen, between whether you hold... Either way, I'm a religious Jew, I'm going to do the rabbanos also. I have to be mevatel. What's enough kamina, whether you hold that the bitl that I have to do, that the Gemara required me to do, is only the rabbanon, or no, the bitl that I have to do is going to be d'oraisa. Either way, I'm following halacha.
Yeah.
What could be enough kamina?
Like a lollipop behind a radiator, right? So if you have the proper shear, then it can be d'oraisa. If you don't...
But how does it change? What the maestro is going to be different? Either way, I'm going to have to be mevatel. Once I'm mevatel it, I patter myself. Let's think for a second. If I'm mevatel it, if I'm mevatel something, that obviates me of my iser d'oraisa. I'm mevatel chametz, that means I don't violate an iser d'oraisa anymore. So how come on 3 weeks from now, why is my wife nervous? Why are your wives nervous at all? Why is anyone cleaning? Why don't we just get up? Lel Pedikas Pesach, Lel Pedikas Chametz, stand up, say Kol Chamira, poof, the magic dragon, and my house is all Pesach Dik. I just was Mevatel all my Chametz. Why doesn't that work? Gzeir Drabban, of course, because the Gemara says Gzeir Drabban, that bitl is not enough, because you might, even if you're Mevatel, you might end up eating it on Pesach. Does that Chashash exist here? Absolutely not. The whole chash is that you're going to eat it. This is something that you can't eat it because it's covered over.
You can clean it up. You can move it away.
Okay, the way things are now, you're not going to. The way things are now.
If you put something in the drawer, what is the same thing?
No, a drawer is not a collapsed avalanche. Okay, so we just found out something very, very fascinating. We just realized that this is a scenario where the din, normally we say bitl is enough to raisa b'midrabanan, we also require to do b'dika shem yochal. We just engineered for ourselves a case where bitl should be sufficient on its own. There's not going to be any additional drabanan layer requiring it to also destroy it. So that means if we just stop here, that lollipop behind, let's not talk about a lollipop, let's talk about a hamantash, behind the radiator, if I'm mevatel it, that should take care of everything. Deraisa, derabon, deraisa, I took care of it because I was mevatel. Fine. However, bitul works. Al tzhefker, like Tosfos, or like Meisir Madas, like the other Rishonim. So I don't. Oh, I might come to eat it. Midrabon, you can't reach it. It's behind the radiator.
Basically,
thingies.
Seeing
it doesn't mean seeing it.
Well,
that doesn't mean look, you know. That doesn't mean seeing
it.
That's
you're
not
what
I'm saying. No, it doesn't mean. That's not what I mean. You're a mevatel. It's not your. It's whatever. However, bitul works, midoraisa, bitul works. Oh, there's a chash d'rabban and shem yochal. You can't eat it. It's behind the radiator thingies.
You can get back. You can reach your hand. You can.
Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. You can reach it. There, of course.
Right. You can reach it.
Okay. So now we're a step closer. Rabosai, Nachamal. What my question is, what's going to be a nafka mina whether or not, I'm a religious Jew, I follow the Rabbanans also, so therefore what's going to be a nafka mina whether the chiv to do bitl, in other words do I still own, am I still chayv on this chametz, is d'orais or d'rabbanan? Either way, I do a bitl and either way I don't have to do a bedika. Why don't I have to do a bedika? Because I just told you that since it's I'm not accessible. There's no chash, the gzera shem yochal. So what's the nafkamina going to be? The Chok Yaakov, one of the mafarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, says something very simple. What happens if you didn't do a bittul? Oh, so now what are we talking about? If you didn't do a bittul, right now you have a chiyav midah to get rid of this chametz. You have a chiyav midah oraisa because you didn't do that first line defense. You didn't do your bittul. So now you have a chiyav oraisa to get rid of this chametz. You didn't do your bittul. You were lazy. So now you have a chiyav oraisa. Well, is there a gzer shem yochal? No, because you can't access it. But are you violating owning the chametz?
Yes.
That's our question. If you're the bittul is doraisa, that means you are violating bal yirah bal yematzah right now. That's why you better be mevatel. And if I didn't do bittul, then I'm violating bal yirah bal yematzah. So what am I going to have to do? Get myself a hammer. Get myself a bulldozer. And I'm violating
it.
Right now. But then why is bittul doraisa? If you say that bittul is doraisa, what does that mean by definition? That you're violating owning the chametz. So we said you could be mevatlet and you're not going to have to clean it up because there's no chashk d'rabbanan shem yochal. But if you didn't take care of your issa d'oraisa, you didn't do bittul, that means you are owning and you're violating an issa d'oraisa.
You just forgot and you realized.
You forgot. You didn't know Aramaic and you didn't realize you could say it in English. You're going to have to start digging, yeah. But masha'ink, and if you hold that bittul is only midrabbanan, that means midrabbanan, you're not violating anything. We want you to do a bittul because maybe on Yontif it will become uncovered. You didn't do a bittul. But you're not violating anything anyway. It's not available for you. And you're not going to have to do anything. That's enough kamina that the Chok Yaakov. What?
What happens if it becomes uncovered in that case?
Then all of a sudden you will have an Issa D'oraisa on hand. That's like every Darabana. What happens if you didn't follow the... If you didn't be mevatel?
If you were mevatel and it becomes uncovered.
Then you're covered. Then you are, you're covered, right?
The bittul is your insurance policy.
That's what Shami Yiska Goska Yafim. That's the way. You do a bittul now, you're covered. Even if it becomes uncovered, you're still covered.
The bittul is like almost exactly. Insurance policy. It's,
right.
It's like insurance policy.
What? Yes, it's insurance policy.
Yeah.
It's no different than Goska Yafim that you came upon that you never knew was there. That becoming uncovered is no different than the dark variety.
Okay, fine. Terrific. I wanna say something that I think might be very geschmack. Very, very geschmack. Now, we have here a machlokas. Whether something that's rubble on top of chametz, am I violating the d'oraisa or d'rabbanan right now? That's a machlokas that we just saw. And therefore, if I'm violating d'oraisa, I have to do bittul d'oraisa. If I'm not violating d'oraisa, then the bittul is only d'rabbanan. What's this machlokas? Why is there a machlokas? Whether chametz that I can't access, right? Here's my chametz. It's on, you know, here's the collapsed ceiling. This tissue box is my chametz. Why is there a machlokas rishona whether this chametz I'm violating it? It derabbanan or daraisa. What is this machlokas? I want to suggest, and I'm going out on a limb, that maybe we could understand the lumdus behind the machlokas rishonim, how to look at chametz that's covered over as follows. There's a very, very, very fundamental machlokas as to what bittul chametz means. Tosis says, in the beginning of the Masechta, Ravina Tam says that bittul is hefker. Hefker. Levi, kol chamir chamir dikubu shusei techamisei, lo chamisei debiatei, lo debiatei, levi hefker. Okay? You're mafkir it, and if you're mafkir it, then you don't own it. If you don't own it, you're not chayiv. So that's how it works. Comes the Ran, the first Ran in the Masechta, in Pesachim, and he asks question after question. First of all, if you do a bittul, how can you do the whole, if bittul is hefker, how do you do hefker? You have to let people know about it. Yeah. Hefker has to be perhaps even b'fnei shlosha. It has to be b'peh. And you and I know the Mishnah says that you're allowed to be mevata belivo. So that can't be hefker. You can't be mafkir or something belev. That's a joke. It's not hefker. Yet bittul does work belev. So it can't be hefker. Another question the Ran asked. Gevaldik question the Ran asked. When I'm mafkir something, let's say I say hareza hefker. When does it leave my rishus?
I'm not
machlokas whether when somebody takes.
So it's machlokas whether it leaves my rishus the moment I said it, and the other man damer says it leaves my rishus when you pick it up. Let's say nobody picked it up; it's still mine the whole time. So imagine you in this neighborhood. We're all Jewish around here. On the day that the Erev Pesach, Pesach is going to be Friday night, so Friday morning at 10 o'clock, I'm going to say everything that all the chametz then in front of my house on Hartz Lane is hefker. Meanwhile, it's mine until the garbage man pick it up 3 days later.
Some that's why you say kafidara.
Ah, that's a different sheet of the Rishon. Therefore, they reject this opinion, and they reject this opinion that it's hefker, and they say it can't be hefker. Rather, bittul must mean something totally different. Therefore, says the Ramban, what does hefker mean? He says something, sorry? I just said the Ran asks these questions. The way the Ramban answers it, he answers more advanced than the Ran. More extreme than the Ran, so I'll give the Ramban's mahalach. He points out something very, very interesting. I'll set you up because you're familiar with this idea. If who owns the Central Avenue in front of the shul? The city. If I dig a bar, who's chaya for the whatever breaks in that bar? Me. What do you mean? But I don't own it. The city owns it. Ella, why am I chayev? Because the Torah said that if you, the Torah says, even though the bar is not yours, also hakos of kilu b'rishusa. The Torah says it's yours only to become chayev on. Says the Ramban, you know what? The same exact thing is true with chametz. Chametz is asur b'hana. If it's asur b'hana, you can't sell it. You can't give it to your yorshim. You can't give it as a gift. You can't give it to your dog. You can't do anything with it. So what ownership do you have in it? None. So you don't own it. Chametz you don't own. So if you don't own chametz, then how are you violating by Rabbi Matzah of owning chametz? You don't own chametz. There's nothing to own. There's nothing there to own. It's Azbana. So how are you chayev? Answer Ramban. That's what the Gemara means when Rabbi Yishmael says, Shnei dvarim einam b'shusim shel adam va'asan ha'kosav ki'ilu hei b'shuso bor b'shus harabim. In other words, you don't own chametz. You don't own chametz. It's asur b'hana. The second the Isra Hana sets in on Erev Pesach, the chametz was whisked out of your bilus by that Isra Hana. So what are you chayiv on? You chayiv because your mind is still on it. And therefore, says Ramban, what's bittul? Menachem is the answer to what you just said. Taking your mind off it. You're not chayiv for ownership. If you were chayiv for ownership, then the Tosfos would be right. Be mafkir, you don't have ownership. But you're not chayiv for ownership. Because you don't own it. It's asur b'hana. So what are you chayev for? The fact that your mind is on it. The fact that you have intent for it. The fact that you're interested in it. The fact that you want to be connected to it. And therefore what's bittul? Saying that I don't want it. I don't like it. I'm not connected to it. And that's why we add the other shita also into the lashon of the bittul. Levei hefker ve libotel ka'afra da'ara. Because of the Ramban.
So according to the Ramban, someone who's a suma can't see the chametz, but he knows that it's there. It's in his mind.
If it's in his mind, he wants the chametz. That's he's connected to it. He's chayev.
So there would be a.
That's not going to be an afkir between Taz and Ramban. Either way, either he owns it and now he's being mafkir, so he's pater, or he feels connected to it.
But if you don't see it and you're mafkir it, or you do see it and you make it afkir, but you know it's there.
So these are two. So according to Tosos, being mafkir is sufficient. According to the Ramban, hefker is not the to do with anything. Anyway, you don't own it
because it's in your.
You feel you chayef because you feel connected to it, and therefore the whole point is bittul is to feel disconnected from it.
So that then you could actually, if you wanted to, can take the esoteric vision of chatoim and.
Okay, bittul. What? Fine. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yes, tshuva. Yeah, you could go there. So now, let's think. Let's take this. I think this is going to be a gishmak alumnus. According to Tosfos, that first opinion, hefker bittul chametz is hefker. You just say it's hefker, and that's what I say. Levi hefker. That means I used to own it, and I was chayev. Now I don't own it. Let's think about this case, the rubble. I can't access it. I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to be able to access it. I'm not going to be able to enjoy my chametz. Do I own it though?
Yes.
I own it 100%.
Yes.
100%. So that means, could it be considered bittul if you hold that bittul is normally hefker? If bittul is hefker, that means the way to get rid of your chametz is by not owning it anymore. But you do own it when it's under the rubble. So you'll still be chayev. If, on the other hand, the way bitta works is you have to become disassociated from it, you're not interested in it. Well, if I have chametz, it's underneath the rubble, there's not much I could do. Maybe I wouldn't be chayiv anymore because it's already ke'ilu mevutal. So I went on a search, and I tried to figure out, we had two rishonim here. A machlokes that we just had was machlokes ran against the smak, whether or not bitul is daraisa, bitul is darabanan. And I tried to find what they hold bitul, whether this bitul for the chametz underneath the rubble is daraisa or darabanan. And I tried to find what they hold bitul is. And lo and behold, we're going to come out with something absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Please join me for the Ran in source number 13. Remember, the Ran we learned until now that says that Bittul is Dirabonon was Ran on Chidush Iran. And this is a Ran on the Rif. And the first line is very clear. Umahu Inyon Bittul. Umahu Inyon Bittul. And he says, Tzarech Shivata Dibittul Midin Hefker Hu. It's a certain kind of hefker, but it's a hefker. He says it's not a regular hefker, it's a special hefker, but it's a hefker. Now wait a second. If it's a hefker, if it's a hefker, one second please. If bittul is a hefker, let's think for a second. If bittul is a hefker, so that means, is my chametz underneath the rubble mevutul me'elav? It's not. Again. The Ran says, look at 13, source number 13, the Ran on the Rif in Pesachim, Aleph Amar Aleph, the first Ran in Maseches Pesachim. He says, what's this thing of Bittul? Ma'onion Bittul. It's a Muhu B'Gumar Gabi, etc., etc. De Bittul Midin Hefker Hu. And then he says later, it's a certain type, a specified type of Hefker, but it's Midin Hefker. Now, if Bittul Chametz is Midin Hefker, that means for me to become not Chayv on Chametz, I have to not own it anymore. Well, if chametz is underneath the rubble, do I own it?
Yes.
I still own it. So therefore, is it mevotel? It's not mevotel. One second. This isn't where it's working the opposite. Hold on one second. No, I apologize. Let's look at source number 14. Look at the smack. I'm sorry. The smack is the same person that we said before. The smack, it's a different place. It's a different mitzvah. The smack is the one who said that in source number 7 that when chametz is under a rubble, you do have to be mevato daraisa. Look how he understands bittul. There's a different mitzvah. There's a four mitzvahs away, a different smak, but look, same person. Bittul ha'mitam de'omar shalchaya torah va torah shalachem shalgavah. Pasuk says lo yiroa lecha chametz lo yimachetze lecha chametz. You're only violating isur chametz if you own it. V'keu shebitlo shuv eino shelo. What does that mean, shelo? How is he understanding bittul? Once you move out, it's not yours anymore. So that means, what is bittul? Hefker.
Right.
So now wait a second. Rabosai, if bittul means it's hefker, so this chametz in the bakery underneath the rubble, is it hefker? Was it ever hufkar?
No.
And therefore, is it bittul me'elav?
No.
And therefore, what should I have to do mitaraisa?
Bittul.
That's the smak l'shitasei.
Yeah.
The smak who said before elsewhere that you have to be mevatel daraisa, because what does he hold that? Because you have to be mevatel daraisa, because there was no bittul to it. Because what is bittul? Bittul is making it hefker. Is this hufker? It's not hufker. What about the Ran who said that you have to, this bittul for this chametz is only derabanan? Let's go back to that Ran on the bottom of page two. The Ran starts off saying that it's hefker, and then he says, he asks the questions that I asked. He says, what is bittul? Maybe it's hefker. And he says, what kind of hefker is this? After all, the questions that I mentioned before. Hefker, you need maybe three people. Hefker, you have to say the peh. Here you're not saying doing bittul b'peh, you do bittul b'lev. And hefker, you only get rid of it when somebody takes it from your rishus, picks it up from the street. But bittul, the second you do bittul, you made yourself potter from chametz. Dinehi, says the Ran now in the second line, demayda havi b'rishus et d'inish lo matzi mafkulei ki haigavna. Even though really hefker doesn't work, this kind of hefker wouldn't work for chametz. Chametz is shiny. Chametz is a whole different animal. This is what I mentioned to you before. Chametz, anyway, is not in your rishus because it's asr b'hana, so it's as though it's ownerless. You can't do anything with it. You can't even give it as a gift. It's so asr b'hana. Ela sawayu chayev. Ela sha'aso ha'kosav ki'iluhu b'rishuso. The Torah is mechayev you on it. U'mishamhachi, look at these beautiful words. If all your chayev on is the fact that your mind was on it, b'gilui daitu ba'alma d'loni chalei, if you just show that you don't want it, you don't consider yourself vested in it, you can't get any hana from it, you don't want it at all, sagi. That should be enough. Let me ask you a question, Rabosai. I have my bakery here, collapsed, and the chametz is underneath the rubble. Do I feel connected to that chametz? Am I excited about this chametz? Do I feel that there's something I'm going to be able to enjoy about this chametz? I'm not talking legally, do I own it? Do I feel a connection to it? Do I want it? Is there anything I'm going to get from it? The pashtus not. And therefore, according to this understanding of bittul, is it mevutul?
Yes.
It's mevutul. And therefore, what is the Ran's shita that we saw earlier in the Chidushei Haran on that Gemara that says that you have to be mevatel? The Ran said that bittul was only midah rabbanon. Why? Because the very status, the way we're suggesting, of the fact that it's under the rubble itself is like a bittul me'elav. And therefore, your chiv to do bittul is, it's already mevatel. So you only have to do bittul under the rabbanon. As opposed to the smak, who understands that what's bittul? Bittul is you have to make it hefker. Well, this isn't hefker, so you have to go make it hefker on the daraisa level. Incredible, incredible, incredible lamdus. I might be wrong, but it's a very geshmak lamdus. I think that's the main point that I wanted to make tonight. I want to just come out at least with a little bit of halacha lemaisa, because that's what we should do. Okay, so I eat breakfast, lunch, and supper in my office on top of my computer. And there's lots of crumb sandwiches. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And crumbs fall into your
keyboard.
Is it lechatchila for you to take, could you use your keyboard on Pesach? If you're going to need to use your computer, what? Chol Moed. Thank you, of course. Even that. Okay, yeah. Ad Chol Moed, thank you. Yes, of course. Thank you. Are you allowed to use your keyboard? And if you are allowed to use your keyboard, are you mechuyev midin habodek tzara sheyivat hamevata tzara sheyivdok? Are you required to take tweezers, take all kinds of tools, suction, vacuuming, to get out that which your fingers otherwise wouldn't get out? Again, I agree you should probably just turn over and shake it gently. Okay, not too hard. So, based on this sugya, the pashtus, you do have to do bittul. Okay, machlokas, if it's daraisa, derabbanan, which we just explained, there's a lot of lumdas. Okay, machlokas, whether I should do it on daraisa, what level I should do it. But I do a bittul. Now, do I have a chiv to be vodekit? The pashtus, this should have the same halacha of chamesh shenafla lav mapolas. It's inaccessible. And therefore, v'pashtus, I should not have to go out of my way to figure out how to get that chametz out of here. I certainly don't have to get myself a new keyboard, even though keyboards are not expensive. You get an $8 keyboard. I shouldn't have to. Similarly, should you have to remove the refrigerator to get the crumbs that fell behind the refrigerator, even if it's more than a kazayas, you have a croissant, you have a challah roll, fell behind the refrigerator. When was the last time, other than last Erev Pesach, that you moved that refrigerator? You haven't. So why all of a sudden this Erev Pesach you start moving refrigerators? Even if it's more than a kazayas, you presumably should not need to get rid of that challah roll behind the refrigerator. In those crevices that you can't reach anyway. So if you could reach it, so then that's not enough level of hamapolis. You could reach it. But if it's anyway, even though you could see it, but you can't reach it, you know it's there. Just like chametz level of hamapolis. You know it's there. You know the chametz is there. It's chametz yodua. It doesn't matter if you could see it with your eyes or you can't see it with your eyes. The point is that you know that it's there. But if, again, you do have to do bittul, either the rice or the rabbanon, granted. But should you have to clean out that chametz that you can't reach, if you can reach it, then l'chora, you shouldn't be chayev to get rid of it. Okay, it happens to be, the poskim say, and we'll finish with this, if you look at source number 17, first a fascinating chumrah, which isn't a real halacha, so don't get scared. Nagu l'gar ha-kosalim, kotels, v'akisal sh'nagu mem chametz. So first of all, you have to realize they didn't have leather upholstered chairs, and they're taking a sandpaper and scraping down the leather. They're talking about wooden chairs, wooden walls. So there's a minhag to take sandpaper and sand down your whole house.
Wow.
Okay. Now, if you think that, oh, wow, I found a nechum, you should just know that the Mishnah Berurah explained, the professional explained. No, it just means that if you do it, we're not going to call you crazy. Not that you have to do it or not that you should do it, but if you do it, we don't call you crazy. That's all it means. We don't call you like a chassid shot or anything. Yesh lo mamash yismach. That's what the Shulchan Aruch means. Yesh lo mamash yismach. Now the next point is what I want. Vim yesh chametz betzedek. If there's chametz in a crack, and you see it in the crack. She'ena yochel chatit achra, but you can't, you know, you can't reach it. Yatiach alav ma'atit. You should cover it over with a little bit of plaster. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and that would work, even if it's kazayis v'yoser. This din, though, says the Taz on the Shulchan Aruch, don't think it's really a halacha. On a source number 18, Mashemol Ticha Betit, the Sifa that we just mentioned, there's a Taz elsewhere. That's why he's saying the Sifa. The Taz elsewhere, but explain this line in the Shulchan Aruch. Hainu l'chumra b'yalma, dabalohi ticha, nami shari hasam. When you see chametz in a crack, do you really have to cover it over? No, shari, why? Since you can't access it easily, you can't take it after it. Have like a chomish enough of my polis. Gevaldig. That's how the Taz is explaining this chumra. The chumra of the Shulchan Aruch says that it's that you have to cover over stuff in a crack. And says the Taz, no, that's only a chumra. And by the way, it's only a chumra, even though what did we say in the previous Mishnah Berurah? Even though it's more than kazayas. That means it's a big chunk of something is just right behind the radiator wall, right behind the radiator sticks, whatever you call those, grates. It's a whole challah, it's a croissant, it's three rogalach. But if you can't reach it, okay, so you should just know the poskim do, the modern day poskim say, in such a case where you see chametz, you know chametz is there, you just can't access it, you should pour some ammonia on it or spray some, I don't know, like Rite Guard or deodorant on it to make it nifsa me'achilas kelev. Nifsa me'achilas kelev. By the way, you want to hear the most geshmaka thing? I don't know if it's true or not. By chametz, what's the shear? Roy l'achila? No, roy l'achilas kelev. Maybe, look at the very first source that we saw tonight. Maybe that's why, what's the shear of how much rubble has to fall on chametz in order to make it mavur? Exactly, that a kelev can't reach it, because that's the shear of what could be considered chametz. I might be making this up, it might be totally garbage, but a fascinating possibility. Let's just finish off with some halacha l'maisa from Nissen Karelitz in his Sefer on Hilchas Pesach. He's talking about a mixer. What's a mixer? A mixer is Mem Yud Kuf Samach Resh. A mixer, sometimes you have these kitchen tools that have, especially things that have motors, that have things that move around. There's a fan or there's some not gratings, but slits, slats, inside the machine, you know, on the outside of the machinery to prevent, you know, because there has to be air coming in to cool off the motor. So sometimes you might have stuff getting caught in the inside those little slats. Well, the mizay yesh lomo, based on the whole thing that we just learned of chametz shenafel alav mapolas, linyan mixer shenichnas b'soch hamechona perurei chametz, crumbs of chametz entered this mixer. Desagi bebittel, all you have to do is bittel. V'hainu davka b'ofen kazeh, only in this way shachametz mutman b'makom shi'ah shel eftach lahotzias hapirurim. You obviously can't open and access it. Of course, if you hire a professional and a technician, he'll be able to get to it. But a normal person, just sticking his fingers in, can't get that far, even though you know it's there. Ain't sarach bedika. You don't have to do bedika. You don't have to get rid of it. Even though Here, you don't have really three tefachim of rubble falling on top, but there's just these the grates of the mixer. Bu'adin, similarly, charitz amukim, omakomo shebet hakila aron. You have to remember, Eretz Yisrael is not like America. In America, an aron is a closet that's a built-in. Eretz Yisrael, there are no built-ins, all the closets are
furniture.
Right. So between the wall and the furniture, a cabinet, but that like a furniture cabinet, not a built-in. Shekosh lagilav, sagi bibitu, you do not have to move. If your wife says, honey, give me a hand tilting the fridge, what do you say? Sorry. I have to go learn.
Don't try it, Tom.
Right. Don't try it at home. There's halach l'maisa. Halach l'maisa, you do whatever your wife tells you to do. But by the way, fascinating, again, this is not based on what we learned, but we'll finish with this, but a very interesting chiluk that Rav Nissen Kralat suggests. Sometimes, I have one jacket that it's always funny because I always put stuff in my breast pocket and it always falls off, ends up on the floor a moment later. And I always find out the hard way. So sometimes it doesn't fall out the floor. Sometimes it falls just into the inner lining of your jacket. So what's going to be the gedder there? Do you have to check? Is that like you can't access it? If there's chametz, crumbs or something, and it fell into your line, you put it into the pocket, and it fell into the lining. Yeah. Is it accessible? Not. Al-kshesh chor b'kis shav b'bigdov. No fel ha-chametz l'soch ha-bitna. Into the lining. Lo sagli ha-bitna. Bitna won't be enough. Kim shiokh l'ftach ha-yideh ha-toras ha-tfarim. You could just,
make
you know, make a little bit of blood. It's not
bigger.
Like a ma'isa uman. It's not, what?
If it was
a pen, I'd probably, you know, right? So therefore, salach al-ma'isa, basically we learned a very important kula, that when it comes to things that are inaccessible, you are chayiv to be mevatel it, machlokes is d'raisa and d'rabbanon, but you do not have to, once you did that, since anyway the hokshash of doing bedika after a bittel is you might eat it, if it's not able to be reached to eat it anyway, there's no chayiv to get rid of it. That's the halacha maisa. And when it is, when you do know it's there and it is visible, you just can't do it. The poskim, the heinz poskim suggest to spray some ammonia, some deodorant, some kind of aerosol can on it to make a naroi lachilas kelev. And that's, but even that is only a chumra, as we saw in the Taz. Yishkach, have a good evening. Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll do some other topic in the world of chametz, and we'll be having the Kolel, I think, might be having a series with Rabbi Forrest and Hagalas Kalim in the next week.